and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Brower and Brower Show with your host, Ted Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a fantastic, blessed weekend, and we got some pretty interesting articles for you today. Now, how are you doing today, Dad?
You know, Austin, I'm blessed. I mean, you know, life is so good, and God is so good, and I'm just happy to be alive and just being with our audience today and just talking to folks and having our little fireside chat with everybody today. There's so much news again today. It's almost crazy. You know, we missed a couple of days over the weekend, and all of a sudden it's like we get bombarded with all of these news stories. So, yeah, it's crazy. One of the first things I want to talk about is Hillary. Apparently her health is really bad. Some people are saying she has Parkinson's disease, and she's really, really in bad health. In fact, I've got a picture of her climbing a pair of just about four or five stairs going into look like a residence. And they've got video of her and audio and pictures of her having to be helped on both sides because she was incapable of climbing the stairs by herself. Not to mention all of her continual coughing spells that she has. In addition to that, she's on all types of medications now for blood clots. In fact, John Rappaport wrote a really interesting article about her. And it said the media lie about Hillary's severe health conditions. It says major media are rushing to do damage control on Hillary's health. They're trying to lay down the concrete, a fake consensus that she's fine. But one problem is that she suffered from dangerous blood clots, and the treatment is basically Coumadin, which is also known as warfarin, which is rat poison. It kills rats by causing them to bleed out internally. This is just a simple fact. Therefore, the prescribing doctor and the patient walk a tightrope. How much Coumadin is too much? How much is too little? Too much of life-threatening bleeding can occur. Too little and fatal blood clots can occur. Therefore, Hillary is being monitored very closely on a weekly basis. And Coumadin is highly toxic. It causes serious liver damage and also can be fatal if you bleed out. Media outlets are going with, well, her doctors know what they're doing. They're issuing positive reports and they're giving her a clean bill of health. How can they give her a clean bill of health when she's on blood thinners? It's complete nonsense. You know, when you start doing Coumadin long-term dosing, you have all kinds of side effects. This is how the nursing home killed my mother. They overdosed her on blood thinners. And it's the craziest thing I've ever seen because the nursing homes, they're kind of funny. The one she was in was supposed to be a really good one. But here's what I've seen about them in general. Now, quite frankly, I had no power of attorney over my mother. She would not have been on blood thinners. I would have had her drinking more water. I would have had her taking vitamin E, and I would have had her taking cod liver oil, which I had constant fights with the nursing home about for the 5-6 years that she was in the nursing home. And then finally, my sister, being a medical doctor and having power of attorney over my mother, basically refused to allow my mother even to have decent supplements to take. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. But what was interesting about this is my mother had to go in for a transfusion in the hospital several days before she died because she was bleeding out internally from the amount of blood thinner they were giving her. Now, you would think that they would stop giving her the same amount of blood thinners or change the dosing until she stopped bleeding internally, but they did not do that. And she ended up bleeding out in the middle of the night, and that's how she died. It's really kind of a sad story because it's my own mother. She died on this rat poison, Coumadin, warfarin. I remember back in the 70s, they put her on blood thinners also, and they ended up almost making her there. She started bleeding out again. And they were able to save her life by putting her in the hospital. The doctor massively overprescribed the amount of drugs she could take. It's a very delicate balancing act is what it is with Coumadin or warfarin. And it's a lot better to use the cod liver oil and the vitamin E. Here's the big problem is that the majority of people that have got problems with this don't drink enough water. Their bodies are dehydrated and the blood gets too thick. That's one of the big, big problems. But in the nursing home, they don't want you drinking a lot of water because then if you're basically incontinent, your sheets get messed up more, they have to change your diaper more, it just becomes more work for them. So they would prefer not to do that in some cases. And I'm sure there are good nursing homes out there, but this one she was in just basically wanted to just do all the drugs they possibly could on her. So if Hillary's on warfarin and Coumadin, it's a very dangerous thing, and that's not even mentioning. I've heard she's had Parkinson's disease. I've heard Bill's got AIDS. I don't know what's wrong with these two. All I know is Bill looks like the walking death. I mean, he looks like a zombie with the shadows under his eyes, and he's lost such an insane amount of weight. I mean, he could have full-blown AIDS. I mean, he can barely get around. I mean, these guys are like 9 years older than me, guys. I mean, I'm still hitting the gym 6 days a week. I mean, I have no idea how – well, yes, I do. It's in German, it's called Flottes Leben. Leben means life. Flottes means a life that's wasted in excess with drinking and partying and drugs and who knows what they do in their satanic rituals. There's no telling what these people are into and what they do. And they've just burned out their bodies and these shells that they're in so quickly that they really don't know what to do with these people. They're getting like propped up in front of a camera. It's like that one silly movie that came out years ago where the guy had died and they were running around with his dead body pretending like he was still alive, propping up in places so he could continue to act like he was alive and he was dead. I forgot what the name of that movie was. It was a silly movie. But that's what they're doing. Hillary basically is a floating, walking corpse, and so is Bill. And now they're basically making these people run for the presidency of the United States, and it's really kind of sad off. So what do you think about all that?
Well, it is pretty strange because I've heard it brought up multiple times as far as what's going on with her health, because, I mean, there's been videos I've seen where there's one the other day. She was like this bobblehead seizure talking to a bunch of reporters. Yeah, I mean, I've seen multiple interviews where she starts going in these coughing fits to the point where she can't even talk. She keeps drinking water and trying to not cough, and she can't. She's incapable of not coughing. Now, I mean, I've done, you know, speeches before. You've done seminars before. Occasionally, you know, you may get a cough in the back of your throat. You have to try and shake. This isn't that. This is something that's happening repeatedly, and it's extended. It's not just a cough and you drink some water and you shake it. This goes on and on and on. So I don't know what's going on with that. I saw that same photo in that video today where she really could not even get up the stairs. Her Secret Service had her by both arms on each side, essentially carrying her up while she just touched down on each step, which is pretty bizarre because, okay, if this is her position, this is her health that she's in now, my goodness, if she actually did become president, how far is she going to degrade over the next 2 to 4 years that she's in office, as what we've seen just in the last couple with her health? But again, Dad, this could be some type of plan, but one of the main reasons the globalists want to get her in there. They may know she has some type of significant health issue, and if they can get the vice president in there and get a bunch of dirt on him, they may even be able to get more done than they could even with Hillary. I don't know. It's just speculation, but it is pretty strange that she's actually running for the presidency, and she's in this horrific shape, and the public's starting to see it and realize it.
Well, the biggest problem with the bipartisanship, and it happens both with the Democrats and with the Republicans, is that regardless of who they run, they support them, unless you're Ted Cruz or Kasich or Bush or Romney, then you basically just blow everybody off and don't support them. But that's because the Bush Clinton cabal has lost so much status because of what's happened, and everybody's starting to wake up. I really believe that the internet, and I know that it's true, has basically been a giant, you know, adrenaline shot in people waking up in the United States. I mean, I'm talking to everybody now. Today we had some fencing installed, and I'm talking to the guy installing the fence, and he's wide awake, and he knows that Hillary's a witch. And I mean, all this kind of crazy stuff is going on. And so either, you know, they're listening to alternative news, or Fox is covering enough of it that's basically showing this. But now Clinton's decided she's going to have a press conference this week, right? And Clinton is holding a press conference at Washington, D.C., at the Marriott on Friday, that's only open to the National Association of Black Journalists and Hispanic Journalists. She's completely and totally stopping all white people. I mean, this nauseates me. I mean, are you kidding me? If we had a press conference that was open only to white journalists, all hell would break loose. You would have protests. If Trump did something like that with only white people, I mean, it's crazy. But again, she gets a pass on it. But it's doubtful she'll take any questions, it says. But given her past hostility to the press, it's doubtful unless the questions are given to her ahead of time. She gets her message out in ways that are completely controlled, but the American citizens deserve better. Washington Post columnist Margaret Sullivan once wrote, "A rare admission from the anti-Trump outlet. The Clinton campaign even physically lassoed reporters with ropes to keep them from approaching Hillary during a parade in 2015. Campaign events are carefully staged and managed, with reporters getting few opportunities to question the candidates." The Huffington Post admitted journalists privately met to discuss grievances over access on the campaign trail, from not receiving timely logistical information and being kept too far from the candidate public events, or kept completely out of fundraisers. This is what they've done. So you got to remember something. When Bernays taught these guys how to do this with his whacked out cousin Freud, when they did all of this stuff and they learned how to manipulate the psyche and using the Satan sabotage rituals to do so, when they did this, you've got to control the narrative. You've got to understand the narrative has to be what you say it is. It's what I say it is what it is. It has to be. Because once you change the narrative, people stop and they start listening and they start waking up and they actually open their eyes. And once they start opening their eyes and listening to what you're saying, they're like, well, that's not what you said a minute ago. Why is this different? See, it's the narrative. The narrative has to be the same. It's like Goebbels taught, you know, Hitler and the gang over there, Nazis who were following Bernays. If the lie's big enough and you tell it long enough and often enough, the people are going to start believing the lie. That's what Hitler that was a Freudian slip. But that's exactly what this is. Hitlery, the wicked witch of Benghazi, the blood drinking queen, the queen of blood, whatever you want to call this psychopathic possessed, demon possessed mess that we have going for the White House, she is not being told by the office staff what to do. She's being instructed by the globalists, by the Sabbateans, by the Rothschild banking cartel, by the Bilderbergers, the Council on 300, the Council on Foreign Relations, by the Vatican. They're all working together here to formulate this lie that she's promulgating to the population of our country and to the world. She is a figurehead. That's all she is. She is a controllable figurehead. She's like a sock puppet for Lucifer is what she is. And she gets in front of the camera, Lucifer shoves his hand up her neck and starts talking through her. That's what she is. Okay? Trump's not like that. Trump's a loose cannon on deck. Okay? And that's why the Republican people and the Republican Party have to calm down, and all the independents have to calm down and realize what and who he is, that he's not a fake. They're always saying, well, he needs to control himself. Well, there's some things he probably doesn't need to say, but the reality is, it's what he's done to get to where he is. He beat, 16, 17 Republican GOP candidates to get to where he is, including having all of his elections pretty much hacked. If he had not won by landslide victories in all of these different states, he even says, chances are he wouldn't be the nominee because they couldn't take it away from him when he's got 40,000 people in a rally in a city, and then and all these other candidates are bringing in 15 or 20 people. You know, we already talked about Bubble Boy Rubio, what a mess he was. And Kasich, he's like watching paint dry listening to that guy. Romney's a joke. I mean, and you know, Jeb Bush is just another globalist with his great-granddaddy or his granddaddy Prescott Bush, the fascist. I mean, the selection of the GOP was awful, and Trump stood above all of them because of what he said in a way that made the people listen in America. Now, we'll give him credit. He's very simple with his approaches. He's very simple with his plank that he has, and he's trying to make everybody stay on the same simple message. The country's in trouble. We're being overrun with illegal aliens. We basically have, you know, too many people coming in that are Muslims that are basically jihadists. We have bad trade deals that are going down. And if he'll stay with that plank, Austin, and not get personal with a bunch of people and attack people, he'll be a lot better off. But the truth is, with the diebold voting machines we're going to talk about in just a minute, he's got to have a really uphill battle on his way, and I don't know if we can get this thing fixed in 90 days. What do you think, son?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll definitely have to play it by ear and see what happens with it. But completely changed topic. Something I wanted to bring up. So I've had quite a few people email me in the last month on this, and I got an article from Jeffrey Green today that went into detail on it. So I want to kind of address it real quick. It's chlorinated water in your showers. A lot of people don't think about this. You know, when you get in a pool, there's chlorine in the water. A lot of times you get filtered water, you use our distillers for your drinking water, so you got good pure water. But a lot of times people overlook one of the most important areas of water usage in their life, and that's in the shower. I mean, people spend anywhere from, you know, 20 to 30 minutes to a few hours every single week in the shower. And bathing in chlorinated water a lot of times is much worse than even just drinking it because it bypasses your liver and it's absorbed right through the skin. Chlorine is one of the most widely used disinfectants in public water systems in the United States. It is also a toxic gas that's been used as a chemical weapon numerous times. It effectively attacks all living cells. What's interesting, chlorine has been shown to diminish vitamin E and vitamin C and fatty acids in the skin, potentially resulting in eye and skin irritations, which I've seen numerous times. A Belgian study published in Pediatrics found that teens were 8 times the risk of developing asthma and allergies if they spent more than 1,000 hours swimming in a chlorinated pool compared to kids who usually swam in a salt pool or a copper-silver disinfecting method. Spanish researchers and Municipal Institute found that people who bathe in chlorinated water have a significantly higher chance of bladder cancer than those with filtered or well water. And what's interesting about this, I know it hits home more because I always grew up in Auburndale here, and we always on well water all the time. And I used to use it all the time. We still had filters a lot of times with the well water. When I went over to Southeastern University in Lakeland for my bachelor's degree, I moved on campus for the first year. And, of course, they were on Lakeland Municipal City Water, just fantastic water. And I'm being very sarcastic about that. It was just loaded with chlorine. You could smell it in the showers when you just walk in there. Well, and just in general, I didn't think much of it, so I kept, you know, taking showers like normal. And I noticed just after the first couple weeks of being in the dorms, I started having real itchy, dry, flaky skin. And it wasn't normal for me. I used to have very good skin, but I was itchy all the time, and I couldn't figure out why. And then it started dawning on me, especially when I went back home for a weekend, it completely went away, and then I came back home, back to the dorms, and it started back up again. So I said, this is interesting. This is definitely something to do with the water. So I immediately got one of our shower filters in one of the showers in there from the office, and I put it on there in the dorm. And just told everybody, I'm like, if you want to use it, you can use it. It's on there. It's on there. I'll just wait my turn so I can use that one. And it immediately changed the entire, just my entire skin appearance changed. I didn't have itchiness anymore, anything. And what's interesting is more and more of these research studies are coming out now, and they're finding that this is a serious, serious issue. They also found a link between chlorine and bladder and rectal cancer as well, and they found that women with breast cancer have a 50 to 60% higher level of organochlorines in their breast tissue than cancer-free women. So this is something that not only affects just your skin health, it can also affect your long-term health as far as increasing the risk of cancer and also toxicity in the organs. We have the ShowerWise shower filter, which is the one I have in my house, the one Dad has. It's like $69. It's a really, really, really good unit. It's very basic. It's very simple. It has a replacement filter you can swap out every year. And I tell people all the time, we have people order them of all over for their whole house, two, three, four of them. And it works really well from what I've found, and it definitely keeps your skin clean and just in a good shape, not all dry and brittle and cracky. But I wanted to bring that up today because I've had a lot of people ask me about it, and that was something that I figured we need to touch on because a lot of people overlook that with their actual shower water health, and they don't even think about it.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? It gets worse than that. I think it was the University of Pittsburgh years and years ago came out with a study that said a 15-minute hot shower is equivalent to drinking 8 glasses of contaminated water as far as trihalomethane and contaminant absorption. And what happens is when you vaporize the chlorine, the gas, the reason you smell it so much in the shower, because with hot water, it goes back into like a gaseous state, and you actually inhale it through your lungs. Not only is it semi-permeable, as far as your skin semi-permeable, it can go through your skin, but it can go right directly into the lung tissue through the nose and through while you're breathing in the shower. That's the biggest problem with it. And when you combine it with organic compounds, let's for instance, if they're using like above ground water, like a river water or lake water for the municipal treatment systems that they're using, or if they're using reprocessed sewage, which a lot of companies do, a lot of municipalities do, when you combine like leaves and sticks and twigs and all that kind of stuff, and you combine it with chlorine, it creates a trihalomethane, and the trihalomethanes are what get absorbed so quickly directly into the lung tissue. So again, a 15-minute shower, hot shower, is equivalent of drinking like 8 glasses of contaminated water with the chemical absorption through the lungs and through the skin. So for years and years and years, Austin, you know, we've told you guys, you know, as kids, you know, when you were little, hey guys, you don't understand, when you go somewhere else and you're getting in all this chlorinated water, it's some really toxic stuff, and it's incredibly poisonous. So not only is it important to drink distilled water, but you can also use these shower filters. Now, the reason we don't put whole house filters on our houses, which you can do, we used to carry those, gosh, 30 years ago, but they have to be replaced on an ongoing basis because all the dishwasher, everything's getting this stuff, all the toilets, you don't have to worry about all that. But if you do it at point of use with the shower filters, and you have a distillation system as you can use in the house that pumps water to the refrigerator or to the kitchen sink, we have those too, or the countertop distillers, it makes life really, really simple as far as avoiding the trihalomethanes, avoiding the chlorine, avoiding the organic contaminants, all of these different things for $69. I mean, really, it's kind of a joke actually how cheap they are, and they're really, really, really good units. But let me go back real quick. Let's talk about Venezuela real quick, about socialism right now in Venezuela. This is from Town Hall. And it's from Alejandro Toro, you may have seen on Fox's Master Chef, described what's going on in his home country in Venezuela. He says that the average minimum salary is $33 a month, which comes out to 20 cents an hour, Torah also says that having enough food, enough money, and a simple question of can we survive dominate the national consciousness of trying to find food. The national inflation rate in the country is set to soar 700%, and the economy is projected to contract by 10% this year. So, guys, listen to me. Socialism doesn't work. Russia proved that. Venezuela's proved that. Everybody's proved that. It simply doesn't work. But this crazy capitalism that we have now, fascism that we have with this Federal Reserve Bank, that's got to be tweaked back out. The forefathers of our country, when they put the Constitution together and they gave Congress the right to coin money, they didn't want to use fiat currency. That was so important to them. Even when the greenbacks were issued with Lincoln, he was trying to stay away from what the globalists, these Sabbateans, these Rothschild boys were trying to do, bringing this currency system back into the United States. So, guys, we don't want socialism here. We don't want Bernie Sanders as president, though he would have been a better president than Hillary Clinton. I got to admit that. I'm not even going to try to, because at least he was against TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So guys, just, you know, don't, whenever your friends say stuff to you about this, just tell them it doesn't work. Communism is completely and totally failed. It's just a failed state when they do things like that. What do you think about that, Oz?
It is. That's sad. I mean, around 20 cents an hour. I mean, that's insanity. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, now we see in Venezuela now they're forcing the manual labor over there, the forced manual labor.
And they're saying now that one ounce of silver will buy 6 months worth of food now because of the inflation.
Wow.
I mean, this is just crazy what's happening. Down in Argentina, by the way, the local residents are now forcing Monsanto to tear down a genetically modified origin of GMO seed plant. This is from Sustainable Pulse. The local Malvinian citizens and the GMO-free campaigners from across Argentina have forced Monsanto to stop the construction of their GMO seed plant in 2014. The well-coordinated protest at the construction site. Sources from the head office of Monsanto in Latin America told local Argentina media that a decision has been made to dismantle the controversial seed plant. The unnamed Monsanto spokesman stated the plant was designed to treat 3.5 million hectares of maize. However, last year only 2.5 million hectares were sown. Thus, he added, an investment of almost $1.5 billion makes no sense. So, guys, it works if you just tell them no, and you're not going to let them do it. Remember back in the 90s, Austin, when they sprayed us with malathione here in Central Florida?
I think it was, I remember hearing about it, but no, I do not physically remember it happening.
Yeah, you're about 10 years old, and I remember they told us, they said, you know, you can't, you know, you go outside because we're going to be springing DC-3s over with spray nozzles in the next few days, and we're going to spray every square mile of Central Florida from Orlando. Everywhere is going to get sprayed for it was a type of a mosquito they were trying to get rid of. And now they're doing the same thing down in, it was a Mediterranean fruit fly. And finally, consumer groups in Tallahassee got together and got a court order from a federal judge to stop the spraying. They're doing the same thing down in Miami now. And
yep.
that's why it always blows my mind when people say, you know, they would never spray us with chemtrails. Are you kidding me? They're spraying the people in Miami with a neurotoxin. This is from the Free Thought Project. Areas of Miami, Florida now being sprayed with an insecticide in an attempt to eradicate the Aedes aegypti mosquito, carrier of the Zika virus. This is total fabrication, by the way. Now, lead, a potent neurotoxin that kills mosquitoes on contact, is perfectly safe, or so the environmental agency tells us. It's not safe. It's poison, despite Puerto Rico's rejection of its use to combat the spread of Zika there. Due to concern about its safety, to keep then said that the lead airborne, which where it would be most effective, the agent is sprayed in a very fine aerosol mist, by the way, which absorbs into the human lungs very, very easily. About 2 tablespoons can be dispersed to cover an area about 2 football fields. It's in far greater amount of lead were employed, according to the Department of Health. It could cause a person to salivate, feel numbness, headaches, dizziness, tremors, nausea, death, abdominal cramps, sweating, blurred vision, difficulty breathing, and a slowed heart rate. I mean, are you kidding me? They're spraying this on people like they're bugs down in Miami. Unbelievable. I don't even know what to say about any of this. What do you think about that?
What's crazy about it is, as of right now, to my knowledge, they have not found or captured a single mosquito carrying the Zika virus.
No, they haven't.
The whole thing now is still just... Yeah, exactly. It's all obfuscation to something else. They're trying to either set something up bigger, they're trying to do some type of beta testing, or they're trying to get people conditioned to being sprayed with this stuff and not thinking anything about it and seeing how the population is going to react. Because as you said before, the Malathion, when that happened, there were massive people revolting about that down here in Florida trying to get it stopped. It was completely and totally egregious behavior. Now they're going to try something again like this, all under the guise of Zika, to see if they can allow the population down in South Florida to get sprayed with this stuff and see if they'll accept it. Because, like I said right now, how can you sit there and literally think it's a good idea to expose the entire population of South Florida to this toxic, toxic mess when you have not found a single mosquito carrying this virus? That doesn't make any sense to me at all. So there's something else behind this. There's definitely some type of further agenda that they're trying to do, and it just happens to be in our state this time. So hooray for that.
Well, you know, the whole thing about it is that if they're spraying Miami, they're going to spray the whole state of Florida. If you guys think that they're going to spray Miami, this is complete nonsense. This is a lie. They're going to spray everybody. They're going to spray the whole country. They're going to spray everybody. And, you know, and the thing about it is that it doesn't cause the microcephaly. It doesn't do that. This whole thing's a lie. Everything's a lie. Remember, I did that show last week, and I said everything's a lie. Everything you've been told is a lie. Everything about everything's a lie. This is another lie. This is a lie, again, just tell it big enough and long enough. Casey said, again, I quote him, when the CIA will be, know they're complete and what they've done, everything every American believes will be a lie, and former head of the CIA. And so it's kind of crazy. What's your next story, buddy?
This is interesting now. Vermont is pretty much having to backpedal now. Vermont announced now that they will no longer be able to enforce the GMO labeling following the passing of the federal law that gives food companies the option to disclose the controversial ingredients through digital off-package labeling. Vermont said mandatory labeling in the state will have to stop immediately, despite the fact that the new federal law will not be going into effect for further timing. Apparently, that was one of the caveats with the whole thing with the law, is that basically no states could go up against the all-powerful, mighty federal government, that they just were not allow that to happen. The states have to be, you know, subservient and good little slaves, and they cannot revolt or do anything that they're not supposed to because the federal government decrees so, and everybody must bow down to the federal government. Obviously, you guys know I'm being sarcastic. The reason why I'm saying that is because we have to get back the states' rights. I brought this up again last week, and I'm adamant about this, so adamant about it, because until we start doing that, the federal government is going to keep doing stuff like this. Vermont voted. People wanted it. They brought it. Everybody listened. They were excited. GMO labeling required in Vermont. Now, they're not going to be able to do this now because federal government's come in and overstepped their boundaries again on another topic that shouldn't even be allowed unless states' rights. There's no reason that the federal government should be able to come in and say, we're mandating that nobody can require GMO labeling. We're going to make a law that basically has to put it on a QR code or a phone number, and they can call it, but we're going to overstep our boundaries with the states and not allow them to do what they want to do and what they voted on. That's completely unacceptable to me, and I know most people feel the same way about that, but Vermont was such a big landmark movement of requiring GMO labeling. I mean, it was huge. And I mean, I talked about it for months at the beginning of this year. It was humongous, and now the federal government, Monsanto, was not going to allow that to happen. So they're going to have to backpedal this now and stop requiring it, which is pretty disappointing to me, to be honest with you.
Well, Vermont doesn't have to do that. Vermont can say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to let you implement it. See, nowhere in the Constitution is the federal government given the right to tell Vermont that they can't cause packages to be labeled. And what happens is exactly what you said, Austin. The federal government is constantly reaching out, trying to take more and more and more power. That's why it's critical. It's critical that Donald Trump wins this nomination, this election, because if he doesn't, what's going to happen is Hillary is going to put these socialist fascist judges like Ginsburg, which, you know, she was put in by a Republican, which still blows my mind, onto the court. And it's going to be made in the image of the Rothschild Sabbateans. That's what they want. They want to get rid of the Constitution. She's already said one of the first things she's going after is our Second Amendment rights. And see, and everybody knows this is a major problem right now, but everybody wants to focus on Donald Trump and the gaffes, the mistakes that he makes. And the truth of the matter is, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody says things they shouldn't say. Hillary can't even walk up the stinking stairs, and she has a black-only, Hispanic-only news conference, and nothing happens. Nobody cares for it. We are so brainwashed in the stupidity of political correctness that they can have anything they want. They can say, white lives don't matter, kill all the whites, and it's okay. I mean, we have completely and totally been jacked, the government of the United States. It is no longer by the people, for the people. It is not that anymore. It is by the fascist dictatorship oligarchies, the corporations that run the world, and their subsidiary corporations, and the money changers, and the Sabbateans. That's who runs this planet, and that's who runs our government right now, with their weirdo parties and their weirdo blood-drinking weirdo stuff they do. A bunch of sickos, and they're running the country. The problem is, they have so splintered us, the population of the country, that we've become completely incapable of galvanizing together at this point, until the alternative media kicked in, to say, I'm not taking this crap anymore. You see, that's the thing that we've got to be willing to do. Say, no! And that's what Vermont should have done. Vermont should have said, they already had that passed. We're not going to honor this. You sell your stuff in Vermont, you're going to have to label it right. Because they know, as soon as they put on the label, this product contains GMO, you put skull and crossbones on it. They know that.
Yeah.
And that, so this is poison. Don't eat it. And that's why they will not allow us to get the skull and crossbones on the label. Because, again, it's commerce. The Sabbateans, the bankers, it's all about greed and profit. They never get enough money. These people are so greedy, they already control the bulk of the population of the planet through their Federal Reserve banks. They've got all over the planet, but it's not enough. It's never enough. They've got to bring us back into a slave and a subservient position. They want to basically put us back into a feudal state in which they completely rule us with no law, with no constitution, and then the lord of the land can come over and say, hang this person. Remember that movie, Rob Roy, Austin?
Yep.
When the lord comes coming up on the horses, and they say, oh, this is Rob Roy, blah, 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 this is what he did, I don't believe him, there's not going to be a trial, hang him off the bridge. Hang him right there off the bridge. That's what they want. They want to be able to take you out back and shoot you and not have any repercussions from the dumbed-down masses. And there's no telling, Austin, what type of neurological agent they're putting in that mosquito spray.
No, there's not.
You have no idea what they're putting in those mosquito sprays. It's unbelievable. Well, here's another story. Mysterious tweet sparks fears that Edward Snowden, by the way, who's been on the CIA's hit list for years, is missing or dead. Edward Snowden tweeted a cryptic 64-character code on Friday evening that was deleted minutes later, sparking fears the message was a dead man's switch, meaning Snowden is either dead or missing. A dead man switch is a message set to be automatically sent if the holder of the account does not perform a regular check-in. In Snowden's case, this dead man switch would be the key to the encrypted files he's distributed among journalists and associates. 2 days ago, Snowden sent an equally cryptic tweet addressed to his former NSA colleagues with the message, "It's time." It is understood with Friday's 64-character tweet that may have just released a key to the encrypted files. Reports have surfaced that at least 8 popular torrent sites used for distributing large files were immediately taken offline after Snowden's tweet, suggesting the distribution of files is being suppressed, or at least slowed down. Adding to the speculation that Snowden has been killed and the key to his sensitive insurance files has been released. Until the former NSA contractor turned whistleblower tweets again, and we can verify he's actually still alive, questions will remain regarding his situation. They've got to stop him from releasing more stuff, Austin, because he knows all the crap on Hillary, and these guys are desperate to kill him. Now, remember, I'm not saying that he's dead, but this all seems very strange to me. I remember with The Godfather, I remember when the Jewish guy who was the mafia guy from Cuba was coming back into the United States, and they had a hit on him, when the Corleone family put a hit on him. And they said, well, he can't be gotten to, he's completely surrounded. And they said, no, he can be killed. Anybody can be gotten to if the person who's willing to shoot them is willing to die. And they, sure enough, they shot him at the airport coming out of the movie of The Godfather. So, guys, Snowden and all these other guys that are protected, there's a high probability if they want to get to him and they're willing to sacrifice their own life, or if the money's high enough, they can put a hit on anybody. We've seen that now with five people that have opposed Hillary. We talked about this last week in the last few months, and they're all dead. So, you know, this is these contracts go out on these people all the time. See, that's the thing that Hagman tried to talk about on his show the other night. You know, what we do, and me going on as a guest with Hagman or this show, I feel a calling by God Almighty himself, by Yahweh himself, that Yeshua's got his hand in this and that I'm supposed to be doing this right now. Because what we do and what we tell you guys and how we try to inform the general masses and the population is a very risky thing to do. It really is. Because what ends up happening is basically you get yourself into a situation where people start getting really angry at you at what you say, because nobody wants to tell the truth anymore because it's not politically correct or it's not healthy to do so. That's why so many of these alternative doctors now have died who have found alternative treatment protocols for cancer, for heart disease, for diabetes, and for autism, and they're checking out left and right now. I think there's over 50 of them dead now in the last 2 years. I mean, it's absolutely insane what's going on. What's your next story, Oz?
This is interesting right here now with the implantable trackers. You know, we've heard about a lot of stuff with trackers with dogs. We've heard about things in the future that they want to start doing as far as the little chips. Now, Perfusa, a company called Perfusa, just got a $7.5 million grant to develop implantable chips for the use on military personnel. There was a DARPA grant. The San Francisco-based outfit has been tapped by the U.S. Department of Defense agencies to develop health tracking implantable systems for soldiers. The $7.5 million grant was awarded jointly by DARPA and the U.S. Army Research Office. Its implantable biosensors will be used to continuously monitor the body chemistry of soldiers, with a hope to contribute to the enhancement of mission efficiency. Now, guys, you can believe that's what they're doing this for, but quite frankly, that's complete and total nonsense. They want to start implementing this because this is the easiest way to beta test an implantable sensor to be able to track people, monitor them, shut them down, because as you guys know, and I respect all of our armed services, I've got a lot of friends that are still active duty, but one of the easiest ways to implement this is through military GI personnel, because essentially when you sign in to the military as a GI, you do not have any rights, and that's just a simple fact. You are government property at that point, and they can do what they want to you, including forcing you to take implantable tracking chips so they can monitor you. So this will be the easiest, most effective way on a large scale to do this with a large amount of human beings to see how effective the protocol is going to be and how strong they can make the sensors, how far they can take the sensors, and how basically acceptable the military personnel along with civilians are going to be about this technology. What do you think about that now that they're actually about to start implementing this?
Oh, they have it about. They've been doing it for a long time, Austin. Their super soldier program, they're just going public with it now. This technology has been tested and worked for years and years and years. I mean, this is all, it all integrates. You know, they got these integrated flight helmets now and all these other things. I personally believe they've been doing this type of testing for a long, long time because they knew how to put wires into people's brains way back in the 60s and 70s. And these implantable chips are going to be just something that will be the next phase of the military personnel. I mean, they can put kill chips in them. They can make you want to commit suicide. They can do anything they want with the right frequency. I mean, they want to control the mindless animals that Henry Kissinger refers to them as, who basically are armed forces, who I highly respect and who I believe have kept this country free for all of these centuries. But the globalists don't have any respect for the global, for the military. Remember when Obama's, when he was being his inaugural thing, when he was being inaugurated, the Marine Guard that was there, they had to remove the bolts out of their rifles. First time ever in the history of the United States that the Marines were not allowed to keep bolts in their rifles, because everybody so hates this weirdo, wacko, gay Kenyan that they were so afraid that he was going to get himself shot for his second term, they made them remove the bolts from their rifles so they could not be fired. They still got to march with the rifles, but they had no bolts. I mean, what kind of nutbag? How much does the military have to hate you when you won't even let the Marines carry bolts in their rifles? Well, he's the one who's gone in and completely just subverted the entire Marine Corps and everyone else. So there's enough people out there that are trained to kill that they probably don't like the guy that they decided they weren't going to take that risk, which is ridiculous to me because it's never been done before. I mean, you could have left the bolts and the rifles, for heaven's sakes, just file down the firing pins. I mean, if that's how scared you were, but, you know, just to completely and totally humiliate the Marine Corps like that, that was complete and total degradation of their part. By the way, John McCain, this is out of True News, John McCain's 1969 Tokyo Rose propaganda recording has been released that he has denied doing, by the way. The 1969 North Vietnamese radio broadcast has never been heard in the U.S. In fact, there has never been any knowledge that such a recording existed. Yeah, they knew about it. They're lying about that, too, now. The audio recording was found in a misplaced file in the National Archives in Washington. The broadcast was recorded by the Foreign Broadcast Information Service, a branch of the CIA. There they are again. The monitor International Shortwave and Foreign Radio Broadcast. In the propaganda recording, Lieutenant Commander McCain said he was guilty of crimes against the Vietnamese country and the people. He confessed that he bombed their cities and towns and villages and caused many injuries, even deaths, for the people of Vietnam. He praised the medical center and the kindness of his communist captors, even though he had come to North Vietnam as an aggressor. McCain said he wished to express his deep gratitude for their kind treatment, and he will never forget the kindness extended to him by the communist North Vietnamese. You know, I have a problem with all of this. Let me tell you why. Number one, this was part of the Cambodian Triangle and the heroin that was coming out of Cambodia, Laos, and Vietnam, funding Operation Gladio and the Exchange Stability Fund back in the 50s and the 60s. That's what started this whole wretched war. Kennedy knew that. That's why he didn't want any people in there doing this. He knew it was all about the drugs. That's why he wanted to dismantle the shadow government, the CIA. Payne ends up going over there along with a lot of other patriots who get drafted. And in fact, I had to register for this draft. That's why it's so close to me as far as knowing what happened with all of that, Austin, that these guys went over there and they bombed the country because they didn't want opium being grown. And they wanted to make sure they subdued the country. And they used the guise that it was communist aggression and communist expansion they were trying to stop as they were going there and bomb them to pieces, right? I mean, this whole war was an abortion. It was awful. And so for McCain to go in and say, hey, look, you know, we shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be bombing. He told the truth on the propaganda thing. The problem is he was being tortured, supposedly. And quite frankly, I don't really want to be tortured. I don't think anybody wants to be tortured. And there's always going to be a breaking point. No matter how much you think you're not going to break, you're going to break sooner or later, unless you've got a cyanide capsule you can bite down on. So the truth is, I don't believe, and don't get me wrong, I really dislike John McCain, okay? I mean, I'm with Dave Hodges on that whole deal, okay? I really dislike this guy. I really dislike what he stands for. I dislike everything about him. He wouldn't turn Sarah Palin loose back in 2008 to run a decent campaign. He refused to let her do what she needed to do because she could have helped win that election. He wouldn't do it. He put a muzzle on her. So I dislike him. He's a globalist. He's all about these trade deals that we're doing with these foreign countries. He's all about the international banking cartels. But releasing information on him right now like this about what he said 40, 50 years ago, everybody already knows who he is. It's not going to make anybody think any worse of him that doesn't like him already. The truth of the matter is, guys, I've never been tortured. I don't know what that would be all about, or waterboarded, or whatever they were doing to him back then. They're probably much worse than that. So as much as I dislike him, this is a cheap shot releasing this information. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, that's pretty old information now. And, I mean, it has nothing to do with it. I mean, he's not the VP pick for Trump or something like that, where, you know, the media is going to come out and try and put a bunch of dirt on him. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, everybody's got a past, and, you know, not everybody's proud of it. But, yeah, that's one of those things where it's kind of like, I don't know, that was a pretty big cheap shot.
Yeah, it's not since the 60s. I mean, come on, guys, give me a break. What's your next story, buddy?
Well, this is interesting now. The facial recognitions have gotten stronger and stronger. Now they have a faceless recognition system which can identify you even when your face is partially hidden. With the widespread adoption among law enforcement, advertisers, and even churches, facial recognition has undoubtedly become one of the biggest threats to privacy out there. More recently, researchers have demonstrated that even with faces blurred or otherwise obscured, algorithms can be trained to identify people by matching previously observed patterns around their head and body. And a new paper uploaded to the ARXIV preprint server, researchers at Max Planck demonstrate a method of identifying individuals even when most of the photos are untagged or obscured. The researcher system, which they call faceless recognition software, and even when there are only 1.25 instances of individual's fully visible face, the system can identify an obscured face with 69.6% accuracy. If there are 10 incidences of an individual's visible face, it increases to 91.5. So in other words, even if there are photos, most photos that are online of you are obscuring your face or covering it, if they can at least get one or two photos on there, these recognition softwares can still pull this out of the metadata and identify you now pretty much anywhere you're at, even if you're, say, wearing sunglasses with a hat down and a wig down. It actually is pulling out your body movement, your neck movement, your entire facial scheme and how it's put together, and runs it through this algorithm. So this facial recognition stuff is getting more and more aggressive, and I have a feeling that it's going to be starting to be used very, very shortly in a whole lot of ways that we would never have allowed this to happen if we knew what was going to happen now before.
We've got a friend of ours. He's a neighbor, lives two doors down. Great guy. I'm not going to give his name. Who does towers. He does cell phone installation towers. He builds the towers. I mean, it's a 1,000-foot tower that he sends guys up to replace components on the tower. Actually, he has a drone that he flies up to the top. You know, he's not in the drone, but he sends it up there, take pictures of what needs to be done, brings it back down. The guy's absolutely brilliant when it comes to electronics. And he was contacted a couple years ago about going in and putting cell phone jammers down there in Nicaragua, one of the big CIA offsites that basically have American citizens that are in basically just disappeared down there. And they wanted to want him to install cell phone jammers. And he didn't want to take the job because it was too dangerous, because he would have to have armed guards with him everywhere he went. And then he told me that he had also helped to install the facial recognition cameras on Interstate 4 going between Tampa and Orlando up to Daytona Beach. And I said, what do you mean facial recognition? You mean license plate? He goes, no, these are super high def. They are actually facial recognition cameras that allow them to see into your car and identify you as you pass by very quickly, so they know who you are. This was told to me years ago by this gentleman, probably 6 or 8 years ago. And so I know that the technology now is much, much more advanced, and the facial recognition software has come so far, Austin. Again, it's the police state. This would make Adolf Hitler blush what we're capable of doing now. In the German population that was basically tricked into believing this guy, Hitler and Goebbels, they would have said no to this. But again, the sheeple in the United States, from the statin drugs, from all the chemicals, and now from the pesticides they're spraying on us as individuals, you know, we're getting dumbed down so quickly, and we're losing so many IQ points with the fluoride and the aluminum and the barium and all the chemicals they're ingesting into our diets, that we're accepting all of this stuff. And the government is so far advanced from where we think they are, they're probably 200 to 300 years advanced because of the Roswell technology, of what happened in the spaceships and the retro engineering that they've done from these entities, these fallen angels or aliens or demons or whatever you want to call them. I don't care. You pick a name. But this stuff is real. These things are real. And they're basically using this technology now against us. So, yes, facial recognition is a major problem. Here's an interesting health article. Flaxseed oil helps reduce blood pressure, and it also helps reduce cholesterol levels. Here's the problem with flaxseed oil, because it does do this. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But if you're trying to lose weight and you're ingesting large amounts of flaxseed oil, now you can take a little bit. It's not going to do this to you. But if you start taking like a tablespoon or two tablespoons a day, it really throws a wet blanket on your fat-burning metabolism. And you can get the same effect as you do with the flaxseed oil, you know, with our Hemlo product and also with our cod liver oil product. I mean, these products work really, really good at helping to maintain healthy blood pressure and helping to maintain the correct lipid counts as far as the high-density lipoproteins, et cetera. That's the key that we look at. Flaxseed oil is okay, but it's one of those things that you don't need to use it, especially if you're trying to lose weight. And again, please watch your weight. I want you guys to know I've dropped about 7 pounds now. I got a little bit too heavy, and I'm going to drop about 8 more pounds. And the way I did it is I just started cutting back on portion sizes and it just takes a couple of, you know, a couple of weeks, a couple of months to do that. Lose about 2 pounds a week this way. It's very, very simple, because I basically want to stay as healthy as I possibly can for as long as I can. And at 60 years of age, I don't have to be quite this large, even though I hit the weights all the time still. But guys, listen to me. The cod liver oil, the B complex, all of those things are so very, very important. We talked about it at length last week. Also, the shower filter, getting all the chlorine out of your water system, unless you live on a farm. Then you make sure you have that well water test to make sure it doesn't have any contaminants in that well water, too. That's really, really important, especially with all these crazy monsoons we're having down here in Central Florida now. We're having so much runoff into the wells and into the lakes, and a lot of that works its way back into the aquifer. So you be really, really careful with your wells and contaminants in the wells, too. That's super, super important. That's why we only drink distilled water, even though we're still on a well. But I have not gone in and put shower filters throughout the house now, because I quite frankly like having a lot of water pressure when I take a shower, and the shower filters do a good job with that, but I just like to, you know, just really have the pressure coming out of the shower head. Have you had any problems with our shower heads, Austin, as far as not having good pressure? Are they still pretty good?
Not on mine at all. I mean, I have a good well head, so I mean, I get real good pressure, but I mean, the only time you'll start noticing a decrease in water pressure is usually about 8 to 12 months after you install it, and that generally is because the shower filter itself, the main filter, it's starting to get full of just impurities, primarily a lot of calcium, too, because with our wells in Florida, we have a ton of calcium in our water, and it will trash the filters out after about a year. But the good thing is they're super easy to replace. They're like, I think $39 is what we charge for a replacement filter. So, I mean, literally, once you make that initial purchase of $69, you got to put a new filter on at once a year for $39. It's dirt cheap, and it would definitely be something, like I said, I'd recommend if you're doing a chlorine water, you know, regular municipality city water. I use I have the well at my house, but I still use the filter just because I'm very picky about it.
One more. This is another good article from the Natural Society. It said eating more plant protein helps to offset the dangers of eating meat. Now, guys, I'm not a vegetarian. Okay, and I eat meat. We eat organic chicken, fish that has fins and scales. I also eat deer meat, and I also eat organic beef. Now, the beef I don't eat as much of, but the deer meat, as long as we can get it, I eat a bunch of that. The chicken we eat all the time. The fish, like, you know, the organic or the wild salmon, we have that upon occasion. But the reality is you can't consume too much animal protein as far as meat. It will make the blood too thick. You have to make sure you take the vitamin E and the cod, and also drink a lot of water, but not during the meal, because that decreases the digestive enzymes that are required to eat or to digest the meat. But you can do it, but you just got to be careful with it and don't overdo it. And what they're saying, the study says that if you start substituting some of these meals that you're eating meat with a good, with a good plant-based protein, we have a pea protein that's phenomenal, by the way, and that you can actually reduce the risks of heart disease and different types of cancer deaths. The study was conducted at Harvard University and the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, where 130,000 healthcare professionals across the U.S. were followed over several decades. Half those participating in the study were getting at least 14% of their protein from animal products. At the end of the studies, researchers stated that each 3% decrease in calories of plant protein lowered the risks, increase in plant calories lowered the risk of death by 10%. So, yes, you need to keep your meat proteins at a certain level and not exceed them. We also eat a lot of eggs. Eggs are great, okay? Yep. They give you the sulfur for the hair, skin, and nails. They really help get your hair a lot thicker if you're losing hair. And also, they can keep your cholesterol up if your cholesterol is too low. And so, but just stay away from eating large amounts of meat. In other words, don't go out and have a 16-ounce steak every night. That's just not healthy, okay? What do you think about that, Oz?
That's very important, guys, because I've seen that repeatedly with many people as they start eating those heavy meats all the time. And like Dad said, I mean, if you want to have a good, you know, grass-fed cheeseburger occasionally, or you're going to go out and have a small steak. But the biggest thing that I always tell people is when you go out and eat that stuff, especially the steaks, if you get a big one, eat a small portion size. Don't eat until you're absolutely stuffed. If you go and it comes with, you know, broccoli and green beans and a side of, you know, sweet potatoes and a steak, you know, eat until you feel comfortable and take the rest home and make it for another meal later. But don't feel like you have to sit there and force feed yourself the rest of that beef to try and finish the plate because you want to finish your meal. Because the thing is, the body can metabolize and break down and digest small amounts of red meat in a sitting. But when you start doing those massive, massive, massive gorge plates, you know, these 16-ounce and these 22-ounce T-bones and all this, it really puts a lot of stress on your digestive system. And not only that, your body has to process it for days. It's very difficult to get that much red meat out of your colon without taking multiple days. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of digestive stress, and it's really just not good for your overall health to put that much in at one time. So try and stick with like maybe a 4 ounce, you know, 4 ounce. If you get an 8 ounce filet, eat half of it. It'll still be filling. You'll still get a lot of protein, a lot of nutrients from it, and then save it for another day. And they're sitting for the next morning. I used to always love chopping my fillets up when I get them from a restaurant the next morning and having them with my eggs and oatmeal. It makes a great breakfast. That's just my two cents on that. Eating massive amounts of beef in one sitting do not work well for anybody.
Well, what I do with Sharon is when we go out, we'll order like an 8 ounce fillet because I like the fillets, and we split it. You know, we'll order a couple extra sides, and we just split it. Like you said, you can order baked potatoes. A lot of restaurants have them. Also, they have sweet potatoes now. And that's what we do. We just get a steak and we split it down the middle, and we usually order a medium rare. When you start really overcooking it, unless it's cooked to the point where it's falling off the bone and it's really, really tender, but you don't eat steaks like that, they kind of get tough. It makes them harder to digest. So I usually eat a medium rare, and then sometimes Sharon will, you know, ask her for her half to be cooked a little bit longer, and they're always easy to accommodate you like that. Plus, steaks have gotten pretty expensive in restaurants too, and you can buy a lot of food. Now, tell me about our pea and rice protein also. I think that's called Health Masters Complete, right?
Yeah, well, we have a couple different options. The base option that we have that we brought out last year, which is a really good cost-effective basic one, is our Ultimate Multiple Fit Food Vegan. And what we did was we kind of took a couple different ideas. We took a base protein shake of pea and rice protein, so it's organic, non-GMO pea and rice protein, you know, with added L-glutamine and some other nutrients. Keep it simple, though, so there's no dairy, there's no beef protein, there's no egg protein, straight vegetable protein, very digestible. And then we added our Ultimate Multiple to it per every two scoops. So you get a full serving of the Ultimate Multiple and a protein serving with each side. So it's a really good, basic, cost-effective. I think it's like $39 a can. We even have a three-pack special on it. But I know a lot of people that use that as like a post-workout or a pre-workout shake. And it just kind of covers it. For some people that really don't want to take a lot of pills, you know, they want to stick with cod liver oil, you know, regular oil, not caps, and they use that product on the side. That's a really good basic starter stack right there, is to go with some cod liver oil and some Fit Food Vegan Ultimate Multiple and just have a really good basic healthy lifestyle approach that's cost effective and it's easy, and you actually don't have to take a single capsule at all. But then, yeah, we also have the GHI and the Superfood Complete. Both of those have them, but those are a lot of more high density meal replacements with massive detoxifying properties like the GHI cleanse. Those are really good as well.
We're running out of time. You probably can't hear the music. But guys, we love you. We appreciate you. I just thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for listening. You guys are, I pray all of you guys are blessed. Austin, you go ahead and finish, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, guys, we appreciate it. Email or call us if you got any questions, healthmasters.com. Product of the week will be changing on Wednesday this week. I'm not sure what's winning right now. I'm sure we'll find out on Wednesday. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll be back on again with you guys tomorrow.